hope, the eager expectation of something to come. We hope in the Messiah. We hope the first time 2,000 years ago. We now live in eager anticipation and hope that he will return. This week it's about peace. Peace is tranquility, the absence of conflict. So we light the peace candle with a longing and a desire that this world certainly needs peace, right? So we light this candle in hopes and peace that the Prince of Peace will come. The first time he came as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The second time he comes, he will come as the Prince of Peace and usher in his kingdom of peace and tranquility, where there'll be no more conflict, there'll be no more war, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow. And with that, we say, Lord Jesus, come quickly, the Prince of Peace. We're in Luke chapter 1 this morning, so if you want to get your copy of God's Word, that would be a blessing as we go and look at this avenue of peace. Peace throughout the morning is our theme. We're in the book of Luke, so it's Mary's perspective on all that is happening with the birth of Jesus. So last week, if you weren't here, a quick review is the angel Gabriel. He came to this girl. We said she was 16 to 12 years old, so we're going to go about 13 or 14. That's about the middle. She's in her time of engagement, which she's proving her purity during this time. And if she would happen to stray and break her vow of purity, she would be treated as an adulterer and she would be stoned. So the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, "Peace, I bring to you. Good news of great joy. You're the one. You're the one that the prophets have prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah 9. You are the virgin that God has chosen." And Mary said, "I just don't quite understand." Not, "I don't believe," as Zacharias has, and he is now mute because of his unbelief. But Mary says, "I don't quite understand and comprehend all you're telling me. I need you to slow things down and help me understand." And they say, the Holy Spirit says, the Holy Spirit's going to come over you. And you're going to become a child. And your purity is going to remain pure, intact, but yet what you carry in your womb is from God himself. It is God. Your relative, Elizabeth, she's 6 months pregnant. You need to know that. Now, make your mark in your Bible. Mary knows about Elizabeth. Elizabeth does not know about Mary until today. So hopefully by now you're in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 39. "And now at this time, Mary arose." How much time went by? I don't know, but I do know it was a short amount of time. She's a 13, 14-year-old girl, and as a dad hat, put my dad hat on, my girls, they're not leaving the state without me. Goodness, they're not even allowed to leave the house sometimes without me, let alone trekking how far Mary trekked. So it's going to take her a couple days to get things packed. She's got to get her bags packed, get her family told where she's going. So a few days, I would say no more than a week. I'm not willing to die for that, but I'm willing to say that and for conversational peace. Okay, so now at this time, if you will, a week later, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country to a city of Judah. Scripture does not say particularly what city she went to. But if you study these commentators, they want to give you an opinion because you bought their book. So most commentators agree that she went to Hebron. That's where the priest, most of them, lived. Now, I have a map here for you this morning. Now, this is really, I want to spend some time here because this is where I really had that aha moment, all right? So the red arrow or orange arrow, my screen, it's orange. I don't know which is for you, but the orange arrow is Nazareth up top. Give or take 60 to 80 miles takes me to Hebron, which is the green arrow. She would have traveled that. It would have taken about 20 miles a day, 4 days, 3 or 4 days, depending upon the pace. She's young. She's 14. She's pregnant, but she's not 8 months, 9 months pregnant. So she's able to do a pretty good clip to walk that trail. The other thing I want to show you is the yellow box, which houses Jerusalem, which where Zacharias would have been, the temple would have been, and he would have traveled from Hebron to Jerusalem to do his ministry. He would have traveled back to Hebron to where he lived. Again, we don't know this for sure, but almost every commentator says, yeah, we're pretty sure it's Hebron, with a little bit of wiggle room to say we're wrong. Now, one thing I want to point out to you is just the sovereignty of God. And I missed this the first time I studied it until I got my map out and I found Nazareth and I found Hebron. Let me tell you a story. 15 years ago, Holly says, we're pregnant. Yeah, got me a baby. And I said, okay. So we started practicing for that fateful day when she says, it's time. It's not time to lose control. It's time to enact planned birth. We get in the car. We traveled that path. We traveled that road. We marked the stop signs. We marked where to put the to-go bag. Why are you looking at me like you haven't done this? You've done this too. We got the to-go bag. We even practiced taking the to-go bag. We go out to the ER, make sure we know where the ER is. We can pull in. If you need, I can go in and pretend like, she's pregnant. Help me. Okay? Look at the sovereignty of God. All that aside, look at what God has done. Mary has found within a week that she is with child, and she is making a trip from Nazareth to Hebron. Where does she have to travel through? Bethlehem. She's going to make this trip a week pregnant in, if you will, the best physical condition she's going to have in the next 9 months. She's going to make this trip again in 9 months with Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and we'll get there in about 2 weeks. But she's already made this trip. She's already practiced, if you will. She already has the to-go bag ready to go that she has walked down this road. So as she walks, she knows the terrain. She knows the hills, the valleys. She knows the pitfalls. She knows the pace that she has to keep. And I sat back and I went, the sovereignty and the plan of God. That this girl that's 14 years old, in her time of purity, proving her purity, is pure, by the way, but now she's taking this 80-mile trek to go see her relative, cousin, Elizabeth, in Hebron. Huh. God has a plan. God has a purpose. Why is Elizabeth getting this visit from Mary? Well, because God is doing a work in Mary. Mary believes the Lord, but she's 14 years old. This angel has just appeared to her, downloaded everything, and said to her, by the way, your cousin or relative Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And Mary says, I've got to go see. I have to go see what's going on with Elizabeth. We have a lot of news to tell each other. There's a lot we can't just write down. I have to go see her. So from this verse, the first question I have, I sat and I meditated on this. I thought about this, is where is God working in my life? God is on the move. Remember, from Malachi to Matthew, that one page we looked at last week, it symbolizes and references 400 years of silence, that God has not spoken anything to anyone. And all of a sudden, the silence is shattered by the angel Gabriel coming to Zechariah and saying, you're going to have a son. And Zechariah says, I don't believe you. And Zechariah is now mute. Second, he comes to Mary, the virgin, 14 years old, saying, you're going to have a child. You're going to name him Jesus. I don't understand. Different than I don't believe. I can't comprehend this. So he tells her and says, now go. So Elizabeth now receives a visit from Mary. hey, Elizabeth, there's a lot going on in my life. And of course, Elizabeth, she's 6 months pregnant. She's got the baby bump going. She's got a lot to tell you about what's going on in her life. Because this older woman who is past the childbearing years has been barren her whole life is now 6 months pregnant. I think they have some news to catch up on. What's God doing? What's God doing in you? What's God doing in you? My question is, where is God moving in your life? See, what happens so much in our lives is we get so busy around Christmas. We've got Christmas parties and employee parties, employer parties. We've got Christmas shopping to do. We've got traffic to deal with. We've got the pandemic to deal with. We've got all kinds of things to work through. And we can lose the meaning of Christmas. We can lose the opportunity for us to go, where is God working in my life? So I submit that question to you. Where's God working in your life? What is he doing? It doesn't have to be the big, big things. It can be the small things as well. How is he working in your life? So she comes and she walks and she enters the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. She walks in. Unannounced. It's not like she's texting along the way and saying, hey, I'm in Bethlehem. I'll be there in about a day and a half. Start picking up. Just like when people drive in your driveway and you see cars coming and you're not ready for company, you lift up the bed sheet, you throw everything onto the bed and you close it down and say, don't go in the bedroom. I'm just saying that for a friend. So she comes and enters and greets them. Zacharias, he's speechless. Oh, come on. He's mute. Of course he's speechless. It's okay. Second service didn't get it either. So Zacharias, he's of course speechless because the disbelief in his mouth. And as she enters the house of Zacharias, she greeted Elizabeth. Now we greet each other, hey, how you doing? Good, how you doing? Hey, what's for lunch? I'm hungry. No, they would sit and they would fellowship for hours. And they had a lot to catch up on. That's the greeting. They're on the couch, they're on the chair, they're greeting each other. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, I read this naturally. When Mary came, hey, how you doing? Elizabeth, it's Mary. That's how I read this, naturally. Some commentators don't. Commentators are over the spectrum on this. But I read this naturally. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, when Mary's speaking, look at what the response is. The baby leapt in her womb. John the Baptist leapt in the womb of Mary. Isn't it interesting, friends, that the first century is still applicable in the 21st century? Let me go a minute or two and take you down to Washington, D.C. We need to be praying for our Supreme Court. For the first time in my life, we have a chance at overturning Roe versus Wade. For the first time, we have the opportunity to protect life in the womb. I got two pregnant ladies. One is showing, one is about a week. Life begins at conception. Psalm 139. And we better be praying really hard for the next 6 months, because this right here, this baby is leaping in her womb. This is not a kind of rolling around making room. This is a response of worship for the Messiah that's coming. So your challenge, this is just free. Your challenge is to start or continue praying. Life begins at conception. So Mary, hey, Elizabeth, how you doing? Poof, here comes John the Baptist. Right? 6 months? She's 6 months pregnant. I'm not going to call her out, make her come up. But if you want to talk to a 6 month pregnant woman, she's right here in the third row, left-hand side, okay? Husband's name's Adam. My name is Dead Meat, so we're good to go. The baby leapt in her womb. He's filled with joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Second thing I want to camp out, make sure we understand, it's still the Old Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit. Only after the resurrection of Christ does the Holy Spirit come and indwell us. In the Old Testament times, and it's we're in that awkward time, we're transitioning from the old to the new, but we don't have the death of, and the resurrection of Christ. So the Spirit of God, he comes in and comes out as he wills and as he pleases. Mary walks in. Elizabeth, how you doing? And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth, and she's going to proclaim truth. Truth from God and truth from God's word. Now, I want you to write in the margins of your Bible 400 years of silence. Deafening silence. And now the angel has appeared to Mary, Zechariah, Joseph, and before appearing to Joseph, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. 400 years this has not happened. She is filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to give a proclamation for God's truth to be told. Something that has not happened in 400 years. And she cried out, she prophesied, she declared, you pick your translation. She is overcome and ready to proclaim what God has laid in her heart. And she cried out with a loud voice. She's not backing down from this. And she said, blessed are you among women. Notice what she does not say. She does not say, worshipped are you among women. She says, you are blessed. You are unique, and Mary is unique. Why? Let me go about why she is not unique, and then we go about why she is. She is not the first woman to have a pregnancy. But think about who she's talking to, Elizabeth. Well, Elizabeth isn't the only woman to be past childbearing years and have her womb opened. You could think about Hannah, who had trouble with pregnancy, and her womb was open with Samuel. You could think about Sarah, and her womb was open with Isaiah. And now you have Elizabeth, who was past the childbearing years, and her womb is open. That is not unique in itself. Mary is unique because she is 14, she has had no marriage, and yet she's pregnant. Think about that. So Elizabeth, again, what happened? Full of the Holy Spirit. She looks at her, and remember, write this down. Mary knows about Elizabeth. Elizabeth does not know about Mary until now. And Mary has had to take that trek from Nazareth the whole way to Hebron going, what's God doing? What is happening? What is going on? And there's angst and there's turmoil because she could be stoned. She isn't, but she could be. She could be divorced. She isn't, but she could be. And there's all this turmoil that's happening in her life. What she's searching for, peace, tranquility, that opportunity to know, God, you're in control, even though there's a storm. And she walks in, Mary saying, Elizabeth, how you doing? Boom, here comes John the Baptist. Holy Spirit comes in. Blessed are you among women. And the fruit of your womb. Elizabeth speaks truth to this young girl. Don't miss it. Mary has that peace, that comfort to know that among all that's going on in her life, and there's a whole lot going on, Elizabeth looks at her and says, you are blessed. Where she has this society and culture saying, you are going to be accursed. No, Mary, you are blessed. And I was challenged this week to ask this question. Who can I encourage this Christmas season? Without getting into the weeds of what's going on, we need peace in our nation. We need peace in our country. We need peace in our world. Good night. We need peace in our state. But you know what we need more than that? We need the Prince of Peace to come. We need to let him come and offer life everlasting. And here comes Elizabeth, this older lady. I don't know how old she is. I do know she's past the childbearing years. And she's looking at this 14-year-old girl. And she's saying, you are blessed. Mary, it's going to be okay. Mary, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Okay. And she speaks peace. This morning, who is there in your life that you can point them to the Prince of Peace? Who is there in your life, if you're older, that you can encourage a younger? If you're younger, you can still encourage the older. But who is there in your life that you can encourage this Christmas season saying, you would like peace? I'd like to introduce you to the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. So Elizabeth, she's not done talking yet. She says in verse 43, how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Let's stop and take our focus off of Mary and turn it to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the wife of the priest. The priest was a man, he was the mouthpiece of the Lord. He had the opportunity to go into the temple, to the Holy of Holies. He had the opportunity to offer sacrifices and go in behind the veil and trim the wicks of the candles and work with the table of the showbread in the temple where very few people have gone. That is quite a privilege and an opportunity. And with that privilege and opportunity, here comes his wife. She has a place of prominence in the town. Now the priest, he would have the nicest of the nicest clothes while he worked in the temple. You do not want to go to the temple and work within the temple in your ratty work clothes. He would have the nicest of the nicest clothes. He'd have the different pieces of his robe, and they were beautiful. And they would look to him for spiritual guidance, for spiritual leadership, and for wisdom. And the ladies would also come to the woman, to Elizabeth, for knowledge. And so she had a place of prominence in the community. Look at what Elizabeth does not say. All right, double negative there. Sorry about that. But look at what she does not say. Hey, how has it happened? It's about time you came. I'm 6 months pregnant. I haven't heard a peep out of Zechariah. Would you rub my feet for me? She doesn't say that. She does not have an air of arrogance about her. Look at what she does have. Look at what she says. How has it happened to me? Mary, out of all the people, why are you coming to me? Why are you coming from Nazareth to Hebron to visit little old me? Why? Why has it happened to me that, look at what she says, the mother of my Lord would come to me? Look, go back one verse to 42. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. She's speaking truth to a 14-year-old girl, I believe, just walked up. Hey, Elizabeth, Zechariah, it's Mary. How you doing today? Why have you come to visit me, the mother of my Lord? Boom. A word of truth. Elizabeth just confirms what was said to Mary from the previous verses. And look at what she says. She says that the mother of my Lord. This is highlighted and it's underlined. That tells me it's double important. Because Elizabeth has said, what is in your womb is my Lord. Taking a look at the Greek of this, it's the name of Joshua. Jeshua, which means salvation. So if you will, if I can take a little bit of liberty, what she's saying is, how has it happened to me? Why would you come visit me? That you, the mother that's carrying within your womb, the Savior of the world, all within that one verse. She says to her in verse 44, "Behold, Mary, when the sound of your voice came," again, a natural reading is as soon as Mary was spoke, "she heard. The sound of your greeting reached my ears, and the baby leapt in my womb." The baby was so overjoyed. John the Baptist, all right, let's go back if you want to. Your homework this afternoon is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. The angel comes. You're going to name him John because he's going to be the forerunner to the Messiah. When he heard your response, his response was joy. When was the last time that you came to church full of joy? When was the last time you came to church with a car full of kids going, "We are going to church and we're going to hear about the love of Jesus, and if you don't knock it off, you're going to see him today." And knock it off. Praise the Lord, we're in the parking lot. Hallelujah, glory be. Can I get a witness? You laugh, but it's true in your car too. How do I get away with it? I come at 6:30 and nobody's up when I leave the house. Just saying, you can apply that and stay all morning with me. Wouldn't that be, Carrie, why, that'd be wonderful. No, it's okay, Holly feels the same way. So, there's joy. When, friends? When is the last time you got up and said, "I have the privilege and opportunity to worship the Lord"? So the question I have for you, are you ready to worship the Lord? Or are you so lost in the hustle and bustle of everything going on that you've lost the joy in Christmas? That you've lost the opportunity for hope? That you've lost the opportunity for peace? When's the last time you slowed down and worshiped the Lord? And behold, she is blessed. Elizabeth's still speaking. She's still full of the Holy Spirit from that verse in verse 42. And blessed is she. Why is she blessed? Look at why she's blessed. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment. Mary trusted in the promises of God and his word. Mary did not understand everything. Are you with me on that? She did not understand everything, but she believed it because God told her. And Mary took a posture. God said it. I believe it. That finishes it. And Elizabeth, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, is speaking truth to her and saying, "You are blessed because you walk in obedience, because you walk and you believe in the fulfillment of what God has said in his word." And she's 14. When I was 14, that wasn't what was characterized by me. And what a great challenge for all of us. What a great opportunity for each one of us to evaluate our life and say, am I living believing that there would be fulfillment in God's word? The point of Advent, they looked in anticipation of the Messiah coming. We look back and say, he came. We also celebrate Advent saying, we know he's coming again. Do you believe that he's coming again? Do you know and trust? I don't understand it all, but I believe it's happening. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. For Mary, that's what she did. One commentator, he put this in here, and I thought it was very pointed to say, Jesus coming is the final and unanswerable proof that God cares. How do I know that God loves me? God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. How do I know that God loves me? How do I have hope that God loves me? How do I have peace to know that God loves me? Look at the manger. Look at the cross. It's the greatest demonstration of love ever given from a holy God to an unholy person. How do we know that God loves us? Because he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to be the Prince of Peace. Because there's conflict between you and God. There's conflict between me and God. It's called sin. Anything we think, speak, or do that is contrary to what God has said. And God says, even though you're the sinner and you've done the offense, I'm going to send you a gift to take care of the offense. It's like me asking Ron for $20 and then him giving me $20 and saying, don't worry about the debt. It's gone. Even though I owe him $20. God has done so much more than he sent Jesus. You want to know God cares? Go to Bethlehem. You want to know God's great love for you? Look at the cross of Calvary. You ever have a question, does God love me? The final answer comes in unanswerable proof. Jesus was born. So the final question I have for this morning, am I believing in the promises of God? This morning, are you taking God's word and are you trusting, believing, and knowing and growing in the promises from God's word? You might not understand it all. Friends, I don't understand it all. But here's what I'm trying to live my life with. God said it. I believe it. That should settle it. Are you trusting, believing, knowing, and I'm going to say applying the promises of God? Four questions this morning. The first one, is God working in your life? If he is, where? And if he's not, I'd ask, why not? Second question is, who can you encourage this Christmas season? If you're older, who can you encourage that's younger? If you're younger, who can you encourage that's older? How do you do that? Side note, just as free. Younger folks, we've got older folks that are lonely during the Christmas season. A visit from you with a cookie, that would do wonders. That would lift their spirits so much. Third one is, are you coming ready to worship the Lord? Because he is worthy to be praised. And then the final one is, are you leaving here saying, you know what, today is the new start that I believe in the promises of God. And my life is going to be changed because I believe in the promises of God. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. Four questions. My heart here is not to call you out. My goal is not to make you come forward. It's just an opportunity to pray. To pray for you. Because we're to be hearers of the word, not just doers. So this morning, is there anybody here I can pray for? Says, you know what? I haven't seen God working in my life. Maybe because I've been too busy. Would you pray for me? I've been challenged this week. I need to slow down and keep Christmas focused on Christ. Is there anybody I can pray for this morning with that? See that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Is there anybody here this morning, I see that second hand, who would say, would you pray for me? Because there's someone I need to encourage. Would you pray not for the opportunity? They're always there. Would you pray for the boldness to speak the truth into that person's life? Would you pray for me this morning? See that hand. Thank you. Two hands. Three hands. Got it. Is there anybody here this morning who says, would you pray for me? Because I've been so busy, I forgot to worship the Lord. Jesus got lost in Christmas. Pray. I see that hand. Anybody else I can pray for this morning? Is there anybody here who says, would you pray for me? I want to leave here believing in the promises of God. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. Lord, help us to be men and women, boys and girls, that are in tune with you, that we see you working in our lives, not just the big things, but the little things. The little things that we would consider little, but they're not, because you're working in and among us. Lord, help us this season not to be so busy in the hustle and bustle, but to stop and enjoy Christmas, to see you working in our lives. Lord, help us to give a word of encouragement to someone that might be struggling. Lord, we have a reason for the hope, and it's found in the Prince of Peace. Lord, give us the boldness. We have opportunities. Give us the boldness. Lord, help us to come ready to worship you because you are worthy to be praised. Lord, help us not to be so busy that we forget to slow down and worship you. And finally, Lord, help us to be men and women, boys and girls, that leave here believing in your promises. You said it, we believe it, and that settles it. Lord, help us to leave here this morning with an eager hope and anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. Help us to leave here this morning in eager anticipation of the peace that can come through the relationship with you. We do love you, Lord, and we're so thankful for your love for us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.